Morning. Today's Daf Mabed Mitzvahs, Samech Dalin. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf Daf as long as Zechon Ishmael Slibig Arviel Bashmuel. We are in Samech Gimel and Samech Gimel Med Aleph, and we are in the middle of discussing forward contracting. Can I put down money to a potential buyer and not take the goods now, but take it at a later point in time? The problem is that this gives off an appearance of ribbis, it gives off an appearance of interest. As we are learning now the fifth parak of Mitzvah, and we're still operating off the first Mishnah of the parak. So the first Mishnah of the parak says that under certain circumstances this would be okay, but under certain circumstances it would not be okay in order to put money down for a forward contract. The basic idea is that under quote-unquote normal circumstances. Well, we'll talk about the exceptions momentarily, but under normal circumstances, what happens is that I give money currently right now for a contract which will be satisfied at a later point in time, and the goods that he's going to give me at a later point in time may in fact be more, meaning may have gone up in value. And turns out now that I gave money, now I got more money or more value back in return. And this looks like interest. It looks like ribbis. And so midar raisa, obviously, it's not. This is not ribbis. Midar raisa, this is what's called commerce. It's called buying something. But this is not a loan. But nevertheless, though, because of this appearance of ribbis, so therefore the chachamim prohibited it. This is one of the rabbinic regulations, restrictions based on the Issur Torah of ribbis. What did we learn back in the Mishnah, and what was emphasized by Rava using the brisa of Ravoshi on the top of Samech Gimel Amud Aleph, and that is basically that under certain circumstances you could do forward contract, and notably the big point that was made by the brisa of Rabbi Yoshia, and really the truth of the matter is in our Mishnah as well, is that under the circumstance where the seller has the product on hand currently, so then that's fine. So then we can have a forward contract. So that means that if I lay the money down and he currently has the product, but for whatever reason I don't want to pick it up right now, I want to pick it up at a later point in time, under those circumstances forward contracting would be permissible. The Gemara says this very succinctly with the words yesh lo. As long as the seller has the product on hand, so this is going to be a satisfaction of this requirement of yesh lo, and therefore would be okay. Why would it be okay? So the Gemara's argument is, well, it would be okay because, look, the fact of the matter is that he currently has it on hand right now. So the truth of the matter is that when I'm giving the money right now, effectively what I'm doing is I'm buying it right now. Now, obviously you're not buying it right now. You didn't do the Mashicha, but nevertheless, you're pretty much locked into it right now. And remember, if anyone, as Rashi described it yesterday, if anyone were to retract from this agreement right now, they would be subject to the curse of Misha Para, as we learned back in the fourth paragraph of Mitzvah. So basically, it's Ki'ilu, it's as if it's yours, and so therefore it is a forward contract, but nevertheless, because he has it on him right now, So then he can pay it back. And when it comes to paying it back, he doesn't actually have to pay back the product. What he could do is he could pay back the value of the product as well. That's what also we learned in the Brice of Raboshia. So he can pay you, he can reimburse you with that which you contracted to buy, or he could substitute it with something of equivalent value. Presumably, he could also substitute it with money as well. Now that is obviously the strangest extension of this point, because by substituting with money, now really what are we looking at? I gave him money, and then what is he giving me back in exchange? Money. So, and if it's more money than what I gave him, that really looks like ribbis. But again, as long as he had the product on hand at the time, so then the brisa says that's going to be fine. Now, what I just described, that I'm giving him money as a forward contract for the purchase of goods, as long as he has it, we're okay, and he can return it back to me, but in other words, give me back not the product but the value of product and even money, that which we just said, that was subject to a machlokus between Rav and Rav Yanai. So here's what we'll do. We'll pick it up right from the machlokus Rav and Rav Yanai. I know I did this yesterday, but itmar. It's a good place to start. We are in the middle of Samech Gimel Amud Aleph. Itmar Rav Amar Osim Amana Beperos Veinosim Amana Bedamim. So Rav says that, yeah, you want to do forward contracts, that's fine. But you have to get paid back Beperos. So you have to get paid back with the actual fruit itself, meaning that which you contracted to buy. But you cannot get paid back with any type of equivalency. Rav Yanai Amar Mali Hain Mali Demeyim. Rav Yanai makes what is a powerful argument. What difference does it make? Meaning, if he had the goods on him at the time, and he wants to give you the goods, or if he wants to give you its value equivalency, that's fine. So Rav Yana says under both circumstances it would be acceptable. And as we and as I pointed out, the Braisa supports Rav Yanai. Meisvei, and the Gemara quotes it right now. Kulam im yesh lamutter. The Braisa says that under all these circumstances, it would be mutter. What would be mutter? Remember how the Braisa described it? Where first I bought wheat, and then when it came time for me to pick up my wheat, I said, you know what? Let's roll it over. Let's convert it into another product. And we did. We rolled it over into wine. And then we rolled it over into another product. We rolled it over into oil. And we and it got to the point where what he paid me was not what I originally purchased, but it's monetary equivalency. Now it happens to be that he paid me back with another product, but still, Mali Hain, Mali de Mayhem. What difference does it make how he pays me back? So the Gemara says this is the opinion of Rav Yanai, and the Braisa certainly seems to be supportive of Rav Yanai as well. So I'm Rav Huna, I'm a Rav. So the Gemara says, well, I'd like to defend Rav, so I'll say that the Braisa is talking about B'shem Mashach. The Braisa is talking about where he did a Meshicha, meaning that every single time he wanted to convert the sale, so he went over there, he did an actual Meshicha on the product, and then he gave it back, and then each sale then turned into a new sale. So, now, by the way, the way I described it is really the simplest reading of the Gemara. Okay. To be fair, Tosos does not describe it exactly that way. Tosos gives a more nuanced reading of the Gemara. I'm just acknowledging, meaning, I know Tosos, but the way I'm presenting it is the simplest reading of the Gemara. So the Gemara says Ibisha Mashach Tzricha LaMemar. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we're talking about Meshicha, really. So then we're not rolling over the debt into a new item. Then the item is his, and every single time, all he's doing is just making a new purchase. What's the big deal? Meaning, there's no chiddush whatsoever. I don't need a brice of Ravoshia to teach me about how to buy something. That we knew already. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the chiddush is that there was no actual Meshicha being done, but rather we designated an area in this place where my product was going to be kept, which is, again, halachically doesn't really change anything. Meaning, if I'm renting out space on his property, that is halachically significant. But if all we're doing is just simply saying, I want to make a contract on goods, and we're now identifying exactly where the goods are, so it is more of an indication that those items have shaychus to me, and that's the chiddush of Rav Oshia. But that's what the Braisa is talking about, but not just a regular forward contract. Okay, so far what do we have right now? We have a Braisa, and the Braisa seems to be in support of Rav Yanai, that when you do a forward contract and you're getting paid back, you don't have to get paid back with the actual product, you can get paid back with its value equivalency. Rav disagrees with this point. Shmuel. Shmuel comes in now, and Shmuel says, you know, the braisa that we just learned regarding Yeshlo, that as long as product is on hand, so then buyer can make a forward contract on those goods. Shmuel Amar Hamani Rabbi Yehuda Hi. So the author of that braisa is Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, again, what we're doing now is we're defending Rav. Meaning that Rav's position that you must get paid back in the actual goods themselves and not with its value, let's support Rav. What about the braisa we just learned? The braisa is relegated to the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Now Rav Yehuda says that tzarecha beribis mutter, and that means basically as follows. What is interest? Interest is basically where I know that I lend you money and I know there's going to be one result. Me winning and you losing. Okay? Win or loser, meaning to me that was the most interesting and a little bit difficult part of the beginning of the fifth parak above Metzia, where the Gemara was looking for a lender borrower relationship where there's only one where there's a winner but not necessarily a loser, where there's a loser but not necessarily a winner. Okay, and that part of the Gemara was tricky. But basically, if we can now say it simply, that really is the description of a loan with interest. There is a winner, and there's categorically a loser. What we're discussing right now is that what if there may not end up being a definitive winner? Meaning you, I'm going to use the word lend right now, although I'm using that word very loosely. But you transact money with somebody else, and it may result in ribbis, but it may not result in ribbis. And it's basically contingency. And you'll see the example will be much better than the way I'm conceptualizing it right now. But, and just at least in the world of conceptualization, the idea is that if there's not a definitive winner, if I'm not definitively going to be getting interest, so then, at least according to Rav Yehuda, that's fine. It doesn't represent interest. A prohibition of the Torah. not even a prohibition of the Rabbanan. Okay, let's do the example. The example will spell this out much better. D'tanya. So let's say now we already have an outstanding loan. Okay, so I lent you money, and I'm coming over, and new, let's go. It's time to pay up. So you don't have the money right now. You do have property, and we do the following. Let's not right now talk about this land being a sale. Now, not an absolute sale, but if I don't pay you, now let's assume that there's some sort of date involved. So, but let's say now that this land is a possible sale. Now, if I pay you back, so then I take back my land. If I don't pay you back, so then you get to keep the land. So this land may end up being either just A, simply collateral, or B, it may actually end up being a sale. So, bizman sha'mocher ocha peres moter. Now, as far as the mocher is concerned, I remember in this relationship, the mocher also happens to be the borrower. So if he's eating the produce that the field yields, so that's fine. However, lokech ocha peres aser, but if the buyer, in this relationship, the buyer is also the lender, if he is eating from the produce of the field, that's going to be prohibited. Why? Because what may end up happening? The land was nothing more than just simply being held in check. As long as the loan is going to get paid back. If the loan is satisfied, so what effectively has the lender done? Lender has got his money back, and he's got also to eat all the peros while he was holding on to the land. That peros is considered interest. That is more value than what he actually gave. Now, granted, by the way, this is not ribis min haTorah, because again, ribis min haTorah means that we agree from the origination that I'm going to add more to the loan. But still, it is ribis. It's ribis derabanan. So, according to the Tanakhama, it's also, and according to Rav Yehuda, it's fine. Rav Yehuda Omer, just give me one second. Just give me a second. Rav Yehuda Omer, afas mashalokeach ocha peres muter. And Rav Yehuda says no. The lokeach, which in this relationship was also the lender is allowed to eat the fruit on the field. So, according to Rav Yehuda, it would be fine. Why would it be fine? Because it's a contingency. Because we don't know if this is going to be a sale or if this is going to actually go back to the original owner. So, the fruit that he's eating may or may not represent interest. And because it's a contingency, this is what the Gemara describes as Sad Echad Beribis, and Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that it would be Mutter. Similarly, above, we don't know if this transaction is going to yield, is going to bear interest, because all I know is I'm putting down money for a forward contract. It may be more valuable, it may not be more valuable, it's a contingency. And since it's a contingency, so therefore it doesn't violate the Isser of Ribis. But what Shmuel effectively has done now is he just took the Braisa, he relegated to the position of Rav Yehuda, and therefore it doesn't present a difficulty for Rav whatsoever.
Why isn't this Brera?
In other words, when we get to the end and find out what happened, let that retroactively determine what it was all along.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good question. That's a good question. Let me think about it. Yeah. We'll get to that. That's an excellent point. We're going to get to that. Okay, very good. Oh, a lot of good questions. All right, so Amalei Rav Yehuda. So, okay. And, oh, I'm sorry. This is a continuation of the Braisa. Okay. Amalei Rav Yehuda, Maisa Baitos Ben Zunin. And there was a story with Baitos, Sha'asa Sadeo Mecher, where this exactly happened. Where he was a creditor, and so basically the land from the borrower was given to him on a contingency. It may or may not be, it may be a sale, or I'll get the money together and it's going to be just simply a security. So, And what happened was that the lokeach, the buyer, was eating the peros. And the buyer was eating the peros. Now remember, the buyer in this case is the lender, right? And basically the lender was allowed to eat fruit. So Rav Yehuda says, Maisa Shahaya. And all this was done under the auspices of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So who at a certain point in his life was a Nasi, he was a leader. So so all this was done under the auspices of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Yehuda says, I'm right. So Amru Lo, so they say to Rav Yehuda, well, no, you're not right because he didn't get the story right. So Misham Raya, Morcho Choperos Hayav Lo Lokeach. So they say to Rav Yehuda, you got almost every detail of the story correctly with one important correction that we're going to make. It wasn't the lender who was eating the fruit on the field. It was the borrower eating the fruit on the field. Now, that's an important correction. Right. That's a really important correction. And I saw... when I was preparing for with the Masifta, so I saw there was a Rishon discuss. You know, in other words, what kind of argument are they having? Are they arguing over what actually happened, or what's more likely is that Rav Yehuda wasn't given every detail of the story and he conjectured. And what the Chachamim said is that no. In other words, we know what actually happened, and your conjecturing is simply wrong. Okay. Anyway, regardless, my Beinayu and the Gemara just simply now explains what's the machlokus between the Tanakam Rav Yehuda, Amar Rabbi. And the Gemara just simply says, as a hezber, this is exactly the point where when Rav Yehuda looks at this transaction, which may or may not result in interest, it may be a sale or it may be just simply security. So therefore, when the lender is eating the fruit, it may at the time while he's eating might not actually be interest. Therefore, it is ribis mitzad echad. It's a contingency, and according to Rav Yehuda, it's okay. And the Chachamim simply disagree fundamentally. Okay, Rava Amar ribis amanas lahach. Rava gives a different explanation of the machlokus between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda, and that is the following. Let's say I collect interest with the intent of returning it, right? Like in the case we just laid down, where the seller is, let me call them by their original names. The lender says to the borrower, I got to get paid, and the borrower says, I'll give you this land. If I can't pay, so then it'll be a sale, and if I can pay, it'll simply be a security, which I'm going to take back. So now, Rava gives a different explanation. What's the machlokes in Tanakam and Rav Yehuda? Let's say the lender goes ahead and he eats fruit off the field with the intent of as follows. If I end up buying the land, that fruit belonged to me. If I ended up not buying the land, meaning I got paid back my loan, so you know what I'll do? I'll reimburse all the fruit that I ate. A simple reimbursement of the payros. And I'm going to pay it back. And now the discussion/debate over here is, when you take ribis with the full intent of returning it, is that okay? So Amar Rava, I'm sorry, and that says Rava is the machlokus between the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda. And I would imagine that, let's just give a little bit more hesber for the Tanakama, meaning why wouldn't it be okay? If you plan on returning the interest, why wouldn't it be okay? And I guess the answer would be is that the Chachamim were concerned that maybe, look, it's much easier to take something rather than return something. And even though your intention may have been the best of intention, that I'm taking the interest but I will return it, but the Chachamim were concerned that you won't be able to return it. Amar Rava Hashad, Amar Rav Yanai. Okay, now, Rava makes the following observation within the opinion of Rav Yanai. So again, remember, by forward contracting, so Rav Yanai says as follows, that when we do a forward contract, and that means now that I'm going to give him money, I'm going to front him the money for goods which I'm going to be collecting at a later point in time. So I don't have to actually receive the goods themselves. I can get monetary equivalency or any value equivalency for the goods. So Rava says, within the Shita Rav Yanai, so we could say now as follows. Not only is it going to be acceptable to collect the goods at the end, but even when you go into forward contracting, he doesn't have to actually have the goods on hand. As long as he has some sort of monetary equivalency. Amar Rava. Hashad Amar Rav Yanai. We're now in the top of Samach Gimel Amud Beis. Mali Hain Mali Demayan. Amrinan. Mali Demayan Mali Hain. Nami Amrinan. We will say that monetary equivalency, Shava Kesef, or in this case, Shava Peros, works both on the back end and on the front end as well. So, and that means as follows. That means that, look, on the back end, when you're collecting on the forward contract, so Rav Yanai says you don't have to actually collect the product, that which you agreed to buy. You can receive anything which is monetarily equivalent, like the brace of Rav Oshia taught us. And now we're going to look at the front end. Now, on the front end, what do we say? That a forward contract is acceptable, but only when he has the product on hand, Yeshlo. Now what Rav is saying within the Shita Rav Yanai is that once we're treating money and product equivalent with one another, he doesn't actually have to have the product on hand as long as he has money in order to buy the product. Now, I'm giving him the money. So basically what Rav is saying within Rav Yanai is that as long as he has the money, and which I'm giving him right now, and let's make an important note, and as long as there is a current market price set for said product, so then you can go into the forward contract as well. Otherwise, what we described earlier as Yatsa Hashar, meaning as long as we have an understand market value for that item, so then we could also do a forward contract, even though he doesn't have currently have the product. And what's the svar? The svar is very simple. Because once I give him the money, and once there's a current market price set for what it is, so he can easily buy it. So, meaning that we are, under those circumstances, allowed to make a forward contract. So, uposkin al shar shebishuk v'afa pishein lo. And the Gemara just simply spells out exactly what we just said. That as we can have a forward contract, I can front him the money, even though he doesn't currently have the product, as long as there is a set value for that. Now, Rashi over here, you'll see the Rashi over here is very long. Rashi takes the time, and I'm not going to take the time right now, unfortunately, but Rashi takes the time to explain that really, all Rava said was our Mishnah. Meaning, that's exactly what we learned back in the Mishnah. That as long as Yatsa Ashar, as long as there is a market value, so then you can make a forward contract. And so, Rav is teasing this out of a statement made by Rabbi Anai, when truth be told, is that what we already learned that back in the Mishnah. So Rashi does spend a considerable amount of time over here on this daf, on this amud, explaining what's the difference between what Rav taught us, what we learned already back in the Mishnah. Please see Rashi for more discussion on that topic. We're going to go on to the Gemara. So the Amoraim ask Rav the following question. What about the Braisa that we learned together? That you can only do a forward contract when the seller has the product on hand. But if he does not have the product on hand, so therefore it's not going to work. So the Gemara says, no, it's let's slow down. No. When is that condition necessary that he has to have product on hand? That's only by a loan. In other words, by a loan, if I'm buying with debt, like we described in yesterday's daf, so then he must have the actual product on hand. So I want to roll over, remember the brisa. I want to roll over the debt of the weed unto wine. I want to roll that over onto oil. So when I'm rolling debt over onto product, so then he has to have it on hand. Over here, however, we're talking about a sale. I'm actually giving him money at the time, so under those circumstances it would be okay, even though he doesn't have product on hand, as long as there's a set market price. Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmi Tavayu, my time am Rabban and Poskin al Shar Shebashuk v'Alfa Pisha'ima. Now, Rabbi and Rav Yosef are going to be in perfect agreement with what we just learned together. That when you're contracting a forward, when you're doing a forward contract and you're fronting the money, and as long as there is a set market value, so then it would be okay. So, what have we said so far? We said according to Rav, it's fine. Rava, and really the truth of the matter is according to the Mishnah, it's fine. And the reason why is because once there's a set market value, so then the seller can buy it. Even though he doesn't have it right now, he can easily buy it. What we're going to do right now in the Gemara is we're going to give a different explanation of why it should be okay. Slightly different explanation. And this is presented to us by both Rabban and Rav Yosef. They both say, why is it, I'm going to read the line again, my time I'm Rabban and Poskin al-Shar Shebashuk v'af ha-pishe'in lo. Why is it that you're allowed to make a forward contract even though the seller does not have the product on hand, but as long as Yatsa Ashar, as long as there's a fair market value, so then it would be okay. De Amar Lay, because this is what the buyer says to the seller. Now, I'll read the line and then I'll explain it better. Shkila tu vasech, you take your goodness, vishaja achizre, and throw it onto the thorn bushes. Okay, it's a great expression. We've seen this expression a number of times throughout the Gemara. You can see on the side, Shabbos, Beitz, Ksuvos, Baba Kama. It's an expression the Gemara likes using. And basically, you did me no favors. And this argument of you did me no favors is a very valid argument in terms of escaping from the problem of ribbis. What is the problem of ribbis? Okay, and again, we're gonna discuss this. We're gonna attack this from a number of different angles. But the problem with ribbis basically is that there's a bona fide winner and there's a bona fide loser. Okay, I charge you interest, so that means that I give you four and I get five back in return. Winner, loser. I won, you lost. Okay, if you can make an argument, which the Gemara here is now about to do, which the Gemara is attempting to do, if you can make an argument that even though I gave you money, and even though at a later point in time you're going to give me product, and even though the product you're giving me later on is going to be value greater than my money, you really didn't do me any favors. right? Thank you, but no thank you. Meaning, I didn't gain as a result of this relationship and as a result of this transaction. So, and the Gemara now is going to make the argument that if you can successfully make this argument, which Rav and Rav Yosef are currently doing, so then it doesn't violate not the biblical, not even the rabbinic prohibition of ribbis. So the Gemara now explains, why over here can we make this argument of, you did me no favors? Because, Maya, honestly, what did you gain from me? I fronted you the money, and then at a later point in time, I picked up the goods. And the goods were at a higher value. But you didn't do me any favors. Because, ihavali zuza biyadi, let's say I didn't front the money. Let's say I had the money in my hand. So, havim izvanina behini uvashili, I would have bought the product, and I would have bought it bezola. I would have bought it at the cheap price. And so, really, you didn't do anything for me as a service. You can't really call this an illicit gain of interest because nothing extra came about from this relationship that I could not have done on my own.
Why can't we explain this rationale to sell this on?
Oh. So, Amrle Abayla Rav Yosef Elamiata Motolava Saw Besaw. Ben, you're on. So, the Gemara said. That was very good. So then the Gemara says, so then if this is true, so then we know, we're going to hear this time and again throughout the fifth parak of Bav Metzia, meaning our parak, that we know that there's a rabbinic prohibition of Sah B'Sah, and we can't lend commodity. I can't lend you a bushel of wheat. I don't know what a bushel is. So I can't lend you a bushel of wheat with the expectation that you're going to pay me back a bushel of wheat a month from now, a week from now, a later point in time, for fear that what you pay me back is going to be more in value than what I gave you. Okay, it's a rabbinic extension of the laws of ribbis. So the Gemara says, well, based on this argument of you did me no favors, can we say over here you really didn't do me any favor? Meaning if I didn't lend it to you and I would have kept it, I would ever have gotten the gain anyway. So this argument of you done me no favor should work by Sah B'Sah. And yet we know that Sah B'Sah is rabbinically prohibited. So Mishum Damatzi, Amarle, Shkila Tivasech V'Shajei Achizrei. Again, the Gemara is just reinforcing the question. Over here, can't we make the argument of you did me no favors? Amarle, Chiti Dekadchei Ba'ach La'ai. Because if I would have kept my wheat in my storehouse, it would have been just as good, just the same. So Amalei Hasamava Achaz Vine. And again, the Gemara says, wait one second. Will this argument of you did me no favor, which is escaping the laws of ribbis, Gemara says, really you have to talk about the nature of the transaction. If the nature of the transaction is a sale, and it just looks like ribbis, so this argument is going to be a clincher. The argument of you've done me no favors is a successful argument to get you out of ribbis minatora, ribbis midrabanan. Look, the transaction to begin with was a sale. It wasn't a loan. But if the transaction from its origination was a loan, so then even though the argument may be a fine argument, but still, I gave you product. You give me back product later on. It's valued more. Yes, it's true. There is an argument of you've done me no favor, but because the nature of the relationship from the origination was a loan, so therefore the chachamim are going to be more severe in terms of exercising their rabbinic legislation. Okay. Now the Gemara says, let's go back to this argument of you've done me no favors. You've done me no favors. Sure, he's done a favor. Because when you lay down the money for a forward contract, so you know you're going to get product. You know, in other words, he took your money and you know you're going to get it. As opposed to had you kept your money, you could have bought it real cheap. Yeah, but think about the effort that you needed to expend in order buying it real cheap. You would have to, right? The argument was, I need to go to these towns of Hini and Chile in order to buy cheap. The Gemara says you wouldn't need a broker. You would have had to have paid for a broker. So I'm like Dikayiv Leinami. So the Gemara's first answer is okay. You're right. There's a brokerage fee. So the Gemara says okay, fine. So that you'll deduct off whatever extra you received. So Rav Ashi Amar Zuzi Deinche Inu Avdalei Safsi Ruse. Great line of the Gemara. The Gemara says that when you have money, your money basically becomes your broker. Meaning that if your argument of you did me no favors, I could have bought this anywhere. So now if you actually had money on hand, so you would have found the product on your own, right? A broker, in order to find it for you, your money talks, and the money would have gotten you would have gotten to you. So Rav Ashi really favors this argument of you really have done literally to me no financial favor. Okay, Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmi Tavayu Haiman De Azuzay Atara Charifa. So let's say a person lays down money for a forward contract, and it's Tara Charifa. Tara means Sha'ar, and Charifa means early. So right now, it's like, my analogy may be terrible, so don't take me too literally, but it's like trading before the bell. So there is a market value, but right now it's really early, and the Gemara describes it as an early market set price. So tzarichli ischazer lebei darei. So the Gemara says, in order for you to solidify this forward contract, so you actually have to go to the storehouse in order to see the product. Gemara says, what? Really? Lamai. The Gemara says, why would you need to do that? I'm not following. In other words, if you actually wanted to acquire it, so you didn't, meaning just because you presented yourself at the storehouse, that's not a kinyan. You know what's called a kinyan? It's called mashicha. So you didn't do that. And now if you want to lock into the deal, you already did. Because kilo by giving him the money, you locked into the deal. And when I say locked in, I'm meaning that yes, technically either one could retract, but under the penalty of Mishapara, like we discussed extensively. So the Gemara says, "Lo lekbulei alei Mishapara umandi azu zuzi atar charifa lebei trei tlasa yahiv." So the Gemara explains, why is there a need to go over to the granary and see the product? Because the Gemara says, at this very early stage, yes, there is a market price, and yes, he has product on hand. But because we're so early on in the harvest, so basically what was commonly done is that the person would give 2 to 3 different people money in order to lock in at this very early price and at this very early rate. And so therefore, when you receive the person's money, you know that this was a common custom. That not only did you receive money, but others received money as well. So even though these farmers got money at this early stage, they knew that right now the money didn't necessarily mean I'm buying. And so therefore, and so therefore, by you presenting yourself at the granary, that shows that not only did you give money, but you were seriously committed to buying this, and now the seller has smichas das, he has the confidence to know that you're actually buying from him. So Rav Ashi says, oh, now that I understand this halacha a lot better, that forward contracting at a very early stage of the harvest requires that you meet him, so the truth of the matter is that the meeting doesn't have to take place at the granary. A meeting at Starbucks would be sufficient. Now, the Gemara doesn't say Starbucks, but afilo ashkechei b'shuka. But basically, that's what the Gemara says. Meaning, so if it's just a question of confidence and him knowing that he is going to be the seller, so then a simple meeting at the market would be sufficient. And that creates a smichas das. I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman gives us the rule. And this basically you could take with you as like the summary statement of the fifth parak of Bamitzia. Klala de Rabisa kol agar natar le aser. When you receive agar, a reward, right, profit, and that is through natira, that is through waiting, so that is going to be a great definition of interest. I give him money because he's in need of money right now. And he's going to reward me for letting him sit on my money, and reward by meaning giving me additional value. That's the definition of interest. Ve'amar Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, now let's go over a couple of other halachas, meaning that's kind of like a summary statement of the entire perek, and now let's go over a couple of concrete examples. Haiman di'ayv zuze l'kira. So what you do is you go over to the your local wax distributor, and you want to buy wax. And v'ka'azle dalad, and right now they're going for four zuz for a board of wax. V'amar le yivne lach hey. And right now he says to you that he's going to, I'm sorry, it's four boards, sorry, I got right. I should know better because the Gemara always speaks in relationship to the product, not to the price. Okay, anyway. Okay, that was not that right. Four pezuz, and right now I'm going to give him a zuz, and basically I'm fronting him the money. It's a forward contract. I'm fronting him the money, and then with the understanding that he's going to at a later point in time give me five pezuz. Okay, so deep discount for early payment. Okay, and if nugabe shari les nugabe asar. And we're going to go back to the basic rules of forward contracting, and that is that as long as he has product on hand, so then you could do that. And if he doesn't have product on hand, then you can't do that. Yesh lo versus ain lo. It comes back to what we said from the beginning. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Now the Gemara says, now Rav Nachman, thank you very much for telling us what we already knew. That if you want a forward contract, as long as the seller has the product on hand, so then you can forward contract. So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha de islay ashray b'masa. So the Gemara says, well, no, I'll tell you what the Chiddush is. Chiddush is as follows. Let's say he doesn't currently... your local wax dealer doesn't currently have the wax on hand, but he already has an order. So does by him having an order, is that considered Elo or Yeshlo?
Is that considered AR or no, in that order? That order pending, is that considered AR, account receivable or not?
So in terms of how to count it, I don't know. In terms of whether or not it satisfies this requirement of Yeshlo or Ein Lo, that the Gemara is about to tell us, that I do know. And that is what the Gemara is telling us is, Ma'u detema, came into Islay Ashray b'masa, ke'ach yavo b'ni o atshe emsa mafteach dame. So the Gemara says, so now that he has an outstanding order, so I might have thought that this should be considered on hand. The havamina is Yeshlo. This should be fall under the category of he has it. It should be no different than what we're going to learn later on in the perek. Actually, the last day of this perek, we're going to learn the following. Let's say he has the product currently on hand, but it's locked up. And right now, who's got the key? It always happens. His kid's got the key. And he's got to wait home. He's got to wait until his kid's got the key. What we're going to learn at the end of this perek is, that's considered yeshlo. That's considered product on hand. So over here, an outstanding order should be no different. That's the havamina. And the Gemara says, Kamash Malan, Kevin de Mechasri Gubaina, Kemandale Su Dame. The Gemara says, but it's not comparable. Right now, he doesn't have it. It is an outstanding order, and so therefore, it's not considered Yeshlo, and he cannot accept a forward contract on something that is on order. Okay, next. I'm Rav Nachman Haiman de Uzif Pshite Mechavre, Ve'ashkach Be'tufina. So, let's say you borrow coins from your friend, and now you borrow 50 coins from your friend, and now you count them up, and they're more than 50. What do I do? So, So the Gemara says an interesting distinction in halacha. If it's something where we can write it off as a mistake, that's something you should return. If it's something that you cannot write off as a mistake, I mean you could, but if it's something that it's not something which is subject to a mistake, so then you can accept that as a gift. It was probably a gift. Now the Gemara says, Hei chidami, let's understand this a little bit better. Hei chidami, bechtei shadas toa. What are we talking about? So Amar Rav Acha bar Rav Yosef, b'isuraisa v'chumishaisa. We're talking about tens and fives. I love this. Basically, back in the good old days, how do people count? And by the way, people count like this nowadays as well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 20. Now, we, in the English language, and in most languages, I would say, have the luxury of having numbers like 11 and 12 and 13. And so, generally speaking, it's not our minhag. But back then, that's how they counted. And so you can easily imagine that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 30. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 50. In other words, right, once you're counting in that manner, it's easy to make a mistake. So, if the mistake comes in increments of 10, and 5s as well, but 10 is just an easier example to demonstrate. So, if a mistake comes in 10, that probably was a mistake. So, you borrowed 50 coins and you got 60? Okay, so that was a function of the counting and a miscount. And so, therefore, you should give back the difference. But, let's say instead of getting 50, you got 52, 54, 57. So now, that was intentional. Why did he give it to you? So the Gemara says you can write it off as a gift. He gave it to you as a gift. Now mind you, by the way, this is now the lender giving the borrower, meaning that's not interest. That's called a gift. So Amalei Rav Acha Brei Derava LeRav Ashi V'Iyin Ishtkifehu DeLoYav Metanamai. Now, what if it happens to be that the lender happens to be the stingiest person you know? Okay, I know we don't like labeling people, we don't like typifying people, but at the same time, you know some people are generous and you know some people are not. So instead of getting 50 coins, in other words, you borrowed some coins, instead of getting 50, you got 52. And you know he's not a magnanimous person, you know it. So now what? So the Gemara says, I could still write it off. Not so much as a gift, but maybe he was looking for an excuse to give you that money. Perhaps, and I know it's unlikely, but perhaps he stole from you and he threw this in order to pay you back. In fact, the Gemara says, I have a brisa. Let's say I steal from my friend and I'm a little bit embarrassed. So what I do is, in other words, in an account that we have, I stick in the stolen money with the account. So, right, very good. Danny, excellent. Right, so we had a machlokas at the end of Baba Kama between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva, whether you have to tell him, whether you don't have to tell him. And seemingly this subscribes to the position that you don't have to tell him. Okay. So, So the Gemara says now, the Gemara is really pushing this point. Let's say he's a very stingy person and you had no history with him whatsoever. So there's no, it's unlikely that he stole from you and he's trying to return it. And now, when you borrowed the 50 coins, you got more. You got a couple of extra coins. Now what do you do? So Amalei Dama Ina Shachrina Gazlei Well, the Gemara says it could be that somebody else stole from you, and again, he wanted just an excuse, an opportunity to return the stolen goods, so he found that somebody was lending money, so he says, do me a favor. When you lend them the money, add these extra coins, I have to return them to him anyway. Basically, as long as it's not a counting error, as long as it's not a blatant counting error, you could write it off as a gift, some sort of reimbursement. The Gemara basically says you can keep it. Rav Kahana says, I came in late to shir. And it was Rav who was giving shir. Right? We already learned at the end of Baba Kama, Rav Kahana spent the majority, the bulk of his life in Bavel, learning under Rav. And then, because of an unfortunate incident, so remember the end of Baba Kama, so he was extradited to Israel, which is not a bad place to get extradited to. So anyway, I was in shir, I came late to shir, and v'shamit ekame karikari v'lo yadina mai ka'amar. And I kept hearing Rav say, gourd, pumpkin, gourd. And it was the end of shir, and if I were there in the beginning, I would have totally understood what was going on, but I came at the end, and all I kept hearing is this word being repeated again and again, and I didn't know what was going on. So basta dekam Rav, amri luhu mai karikari dekame Rav. So now shir was over, and I turned to the students and I said, do me a favor, can you give me a summary? Like, what just happened? So Amr Leki Hachi Kamarav. Haiman Diav Zuziliginai Akari. So let's say you go to the gardener and you want to buy gourd. And let me, for our purposes, instead of using the word gourd, zucchini, cucumber, you'll see. It's easier to visualize. The Ka'azle Asari Kari Bene Sarta. And 10 gourds, the length of a zeres. Zeres is from your thumb to your pinky, as they're spread out. So 10 gourds go for, at this very short length, go for a zuz. So, and what I'll do is as follows. I'll front you the money now. Again, it's a forward contract. I'll front you the money, and then what you're going to do is give me the gourds at a later point in time when the gourds get to the point of an amma, from your elbow to your finger. Okay? So about 2 feet, considerably longer. So basically now I'm fronting the money. So isnu shari lesnu aser. So the Gemara says again, forward contract, so we're going to go back to our rules. If he had the cucumbers, if he had the zucchini currently on hand, so then good. If he didn't have them currently on hand, so then it would be prohibited. Excellent question. That's exactly where we're headed. So pshita, ma'u detema kevin de me'mele karabu shabidami. Kamash malan. So the Gemara says that the fact that he has currently the smaller size cucumber, that's not considered yeshlo. Now, granted, they're going to grow, meaning they're still in the garden.
Maybe.
And they're going to grow. But right. But in other words, but that's not considered yeshlo. Yeshlo is only when he currently has on hand the larger length cucumber. Then and only then is this forward contract going to be allowed. So the Gemara says, "Kaman ki aitana detani." The Gemara says, and I'm going to show you a braisa that makes this point straightforward, and that is how lachlof is zizav lugzos is rachlof velurdos is kavrasa. A farmer is going to milk his goat, shear a sheep, or comb his honeycomb. And matzah chaver v'amali mashi zichal ves mechor li masha richeli gozes mechor lach masha kavrasi roda mechor lach samuta. And now somebody comes along and someone's going to buy them. Now if someone's going to buy them at risk, meaning I don't know how much milk is coming out of the goat, but I'll give you the money for whatever you milk. And if it's a lot, fine. And if it's a little, fine. And he's perfectly willing to accept the risk. So that's fine. And you can buy it. No, you can maybe make the argument of Davish Shalabala Olam, but right now our focus is going to be on forward contracting. So under those circumstances, it's fine. Aval im amar lo mashi zichovas kach v'kach marcholach mashi recheligosus kach v'kach marcholach mashi kavati roda kach v'kach marcholach. However, if you are not assuming the risk and you're giving the money down, but you're saying, but the money's going for is in a specific amount, so this is now a forward contract on something that's not yet materialized. No, you can't do that. It's usher. Now the afagav de memela karabu. Now wait one second. The goat's coming out of the milk. Okay? And clearly I'm rushing. The milk is coming out of the goat. Right? So in other words, what does that mean, ain lo? Isn't this yeshlo? The brisa just made the point that we made, that the small cucumber is not the large cucumber. And the milk coming out of the goat is not considered yeshlo. That is considered still something which stands to be collected or stands to grow, but it's not currently there. So basically now what we did is a fair comparison of small gourds are not large gourds for the satisfaction of the requirement of Yeshlo. Milk coming out of the goat is not, which is not out yet, is also not a satisfaction of the requirement of Yeshlo. Ike the Amre. Now the Gemara has another version, which is Rava does a 180. Amre Rava came to Memela Karabu Shapir Dami. The Gemara says, and this second version of the Gemara, the small cucumber is considered a satisfaction of the requirement of Yeshlo, because they're going to grow and become the large cucumbers. Now the Gemara says, but wait one second, we just quoted a Braisa. And the Braisa says, V'atanya kavakach aser. So the Gemara says, Hasam lav mine karabu deshakli lei, lahai va'ase achrina beduchte. Hacha mine karabu dechishakli lei, lahai lo asa achrina beduchte. The Gemara says, the distinction we're going to make between the cucumbers and the milk coming out of the goat is going to be different. Because the small cucumber is becoming the large cucumbers. It's the same cucumber. It's just getting larger. As far as this requirement of Yeshlo, satisfied. Because it's here. It's the same thing. Masha Enkin, when it comes to the milk coming out of the goat, so you have to extract the milk out of the goat. And it's not like the milk that's coming out of the goat, it's growing in size. No, the next milk that's coming is another milk. So as far as the requirement of Yeshlo, the small gourd becoming a good gourd, check. The milk coming out of the goat is not a satisfaction of Yeshlo. Let's finish up to the Mishnah, which you'll see is the top of the next summon. Amar Rabbi Yishar le'linish le'memar le'lechavre he'lechar bezuzei achavisa dechamra itakva b'rishusech iyikare. I'm sorry, itakva b'rishusech iyikare zila b'rishusi. A person forward contracts to the purchase of a wine. And he says, here's the four zuz. But here, let's make the following stipulation. If the wine sours, that's yours. If the wine appreciates or depreciates in value, it's mine. Abaye says, that's enough assumption of risk where such a forward contract would be allowed. Amalei Rav Shavya Abaye, so high karv l'schar v'rakul lehefsid hu. So Rav Shavya says, whoa. That is too beneficial for the buyer. Meaning, if it sours, so then he keeps it, but if it appreciates or depreciates, most likely it's going to appreciate in value. Less likely it's going to depreciate in value. And basically, if you're not ready to assume all risks, and if it sours, you don't keep it, isn't that really ribbis? So Amalei Kevdem Kabale Zula Zila Karav Lezev Lezehu. And Abaye says, no, I just disagree. I think that because he was ready to accept the depreciated value, he is assuming risk. Therefore, it doesn't fall under the category of ribbis. It falls under the category of a transaction, and he had it on hand. Therefore, I think it's an acceptable forward contract.